I'm reading from the New International Version. 1 Corinthians 9, 23 to 27. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it for a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Luke 18:35-43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. He shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. May God add wisdom to these scriptures to us. Thanks.
Good morning. Joshua is my name, for those of you who don't know me, and I'm the youth pastor here. I wanted to start this morning by letting you in on something that none of you probably know about me, and that is that I'm a man who likes to keep his finger on the pulse of fashion. And I say this because I was reading, I think it was Elle.com, and I wanted to share with you some of the trends that are coming back in. These things, I used to call them midriffs, but apparently they're called crop tops now. These are coming back in where there's a little bit of skin showing. There are others that were much more revealing that weren't appropriate for up there, but they're coming back in. Flannel is back in. I was suggesting to early service that what concerns me is that Dolby never knew that this was out of fashion in the first place, but it's coming back in, so we're still good. Overalls are back in. It's a travesty. That's terrible. But they're back in. Perms are also in. My sister got one recently. I don't know. Anna might do them cheaper than what my sister was charged, but I almost died when she told me the price. But I guess that's what you pay if you want to be fashionable. Hey. These are no longer things of the past, right? They're coming back into now. They're hip, they're happening. But what worries me is that I think we tend to think of spiritual disciplines as things of the past. Now, by spiritual disciplines, I mean Bible intake, prayer, worship, evangelism, serving, stewardship, fasting, silence and solitude, journaling, learning. If you look up lists on the internet, you'll see that there are many others as well. But I think whatever the lists of disciplines that you read, I think each could be put under three main headings: Bible intake, prayer, and being part of Christian community. These are things that Jesus modeled during his time on earth, and they're the practices that God's people have been involved in since biblical times for the purpose of growing up spiritually. So these are things of the past. But I wonder if we think that they still should be things of the past. You know, they're for the saints of old. Those days are behind us. We've moved on. and spiritual disciplines, they're just not great for us. Well, much like I think certain fashion is making a comeback, I think for us to be healthy Christians, spiritual disciplines need to make a comeback. And they need to stay, not disappear again. Spiritual disciplines should be, or should not be, I should say, things of the past. And the simple reason is they're for every Christian. If you're a new Christian, an experienced Christian, a young Christian, an elderly Christian, whether you're a child, a teenager, an adult, whether you're single or married, whether you're a super Christian or a not a super Christian, whether you're a saint of old or whether you're just kind of us, saints of today, you and me, spiritual disciplines are for everyone. And they should be in fashion. The presence of spiritual disciplines in your life are really vital signs. They communicate much about your health, much about your spiritual health. Spiritual disciplines are for every Christian. And why is that the case? I want to share with you two reasons this morning, God's mandates and God's meetings. Now, we're going to jump around the Bible a fair bit today. Usually, we kind of work through a passage from top to bottom, but this morning is going to be a little bit different. So I think it's really key if we kind of keep these two M's in mind, mandates and meetings. But let's pray before we jump in. Dear Lord, we need your spirit to be at work, enlightening what you have to say to us. So Lord, I pray now as we look at your word and as we think about disciplines, I pray that your spirit will be at work, that he will be shaping us through your word and growing us in godliness. And I pray these things in your son's name. Amen. So why are spiritual disciplines for everyone? Well, I think because they require discipline to do them. And God commands us to be disciplined people. So in Timothy, in 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 to 9, we hear these words: train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying and deserves full acceptance. It's a really clear call, I think. Paul is saying, train yourself, discipline yourself. But we also need to pick up, why does he say this? Why does God command us to be disciplined? So I'll read it again, and the why is clear. Train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. See, God commands disciplines because it's the way to godliness. It's the way to knowing God and being like him. Being disciplined is not the goal in itself. Godliness is the goal. Discipline is just the way to get there. Knowing God and being like him is the goal because it's actually another mandate of God's. Listen to 1 Peter 1 verse 15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. God commands two things, be godly and be disciplined. And I think it's really unhelpful for us to try and separate these two mandates out and keep them apart. Disciplines can't be a thing of the past because they move us towards godliness. And we're called to be godly now. There is a point to discipline. They move us towards being holy. So the goal is not just to be disciplined, the goal is to be godly. And I think being godly means knowing God and being like him. But we're going to look more at godliness next week. So this morning I am going to spend most of our time focusing on this mandate to be disciplined. And I think we get a really good picture of the kind of discipline that God is commanding from the verses that Jenny read to us. So let's have a look at them again in 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Can hear the type of discipline that God's asking for? Strict training. Paul's reference here is kind of talking about the prep needed for the Isthmian Games, and they're a really big deal, right? Like, we need to think Corinth's Olympics. And there's no accident about the way the athletes kind of prepare. There's no randomness to what they do. There can't be. The stakes are too high. You see, the athletes are deliberate, they're purposeful, they're planned, and they persevere. And not only do they put in hours and hours of training, but they also compete naked. They want nothing at all to get in their way, not even a pair of good jocks. To get in the way of victory would be a disaster. That's what it takes to win a wreath. And Paul wants us to think of chasing godliness with the same intensity. The stakes are high. We're commanded to be godly, so we must be disciplined. All our energy is to go into chasing godliness. Anything that might get in our way, we need to get rid of. The writer to the Hebrews agrees. He writes in 12 verse 1, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Our greatest hunger should be godliness, knowing God and being like him. And if that's the case, we should be incredibly disciplined people and love training hard to move towards godliness. So is that the kind of discipline that characterizes your life? Are you the kind of person that gets up an extra half an hour early to make sure that you can read the Bible before work? Are you the kind of person who has figured out they get distracted by prayer while they're praying, and so to discipline themselves, they actually write their prayers down to help them stay on track? Are you the kind of person who has realised, oh, I really struggle to fit prayer into my day, and so instead of having a meal, you discipline yourself to fast and to use that time to pray and read God's word instead? Are you the kind of people who actually think, oh, I really just don't understand this about God, and so you go away and you study some part, an aspect of God, so that you do get to know him better? These are the kinds of disciplined decisions that I think Paul and God is calling for. Unfortunately, generally I think it's really fair to say that we are not this type of disciplined people. And this could be for a number of reasons. Here are some of the ones I've thought of, but there may be others. One, maybe you're not disciplined because you've never heard that God actually expects you to be disciplined, commands you to be disciplined. It is possible that that's the case, but I guess the scary news for you this morning is you've now heard that. Two, maybe you're not disciplined because it's tough. It's hard, difficult work, and so you choose not to do it. Now, I know this is being blunt, but I'm really asking the question, are you not disciplined because you're being a disobedient Christian? You hear God's commands, you hear his mandates, and choose to ignore them. A third option is you actually feel like discipline really gets in the way of relationship, feels really forced, and you want to be relational with God, and so you just kind of do your quiet time and prayer and things like that when you feel like it, because that's much more relational. A fourth option is you actually go, well, this discipline seems to fly in the face of God being gracious and good towards us. God is the one who makes me godly, not myself. And so we avoid that because we're afraid of trying to earn godliness. But we need to remember that this is the same Paul who writes in Romans, "You're saved by grace alone," and all his other letters where he says that. He's the same Paul who writes, "Train yourself for godliness," in 1 Timothy and 1 Corinthians. So I think these two truths do fit together. And I think it's actually really helpful for us to think of the spiritual disciplines as God's meetings, our second M. Understanding the spiritual disciplines as places where we meet God, I think, can help us deal with those four concerns that we might have about being poorly disciplined. So let's have a look at our second M, God's meetings. How do they actually help us be disciplined? Understanding that spiritual disciplines are God's meetings. Well, if you think about the blind man in Luke 18 that Jenny read earlier, when he hears that Jesus is going past, what is it that he does? He makes every possible effort he can to meet Jesus. He calls out in verse 38, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Even when he's pushed aside and told to shut up, he actually starts pushing harder. He strains his voice even louder. "Son of David, have mercy on me." The blind man's effort and striving end up putting him in Jesus' path. And in the end, he meets God. And Jesus is gracious towards him, and he's changed. It's almost the same story repeated in the next chapter of Luke with Zacchaeus. You remember the really kind of short dude who kind of can't see over the crowd, and so he races ahead and he hangs out of a tree. Zacchaeus lets nothing get in his way of meeting Jesus. He works really hard to get in Jesus' path. And again, Zacchaeus gets to meet God. Jesus is gracious towards him, and he is changed. You see, I think in the spiritual disciplines, God has set us up with opportunities to meet him, opportunities for us to get in his path. Think about it like this, with Bible intake and all the other disciplines that are very closely related to it, what are we doing when we read the Bible? 2 Timothy 3:16 reminds us that all scripture is God-breathed. When we read the Bible, we're hearing God speak. Isn't that a great way to meet God, to hear him speak? In prayer and the disciplines that are closely related to it, we actually get to talk to God. Think of Philippians chapter 4. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We get to meet God as we talk with him. We also get to meet God in the community of his people, in church. Think about verses like Matthew 18, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Have you ever really thought about Bible reading and prayer and coming to church as meeting with God? Have you ever thought about disciplining yourself so that you do meet him and get in his path? Are you planned and purposeful with those attempts? Do you let nothing get in your way? I think we're like this with people. We make much time and effort to catch up with people for coffee or playdates or working on a car or something like that. Sometimes we can go to extreme lengths. As I was thinking through this week, I remembered a time at uni. I saw this girl and I thought she was nice, and so I did some research and I found out she was in the year above me doing the same course. I then found out she was a Christian. And so all of a sudden I was really happy to kind of give up my lunch times to go to the Christian group in case I'd actually get to meet her properly. She must have failed some subjects because all of a sudden we seemed to be doing the same classes. And so that meant I worked pretty hard at changing some of my schedules so that I'd be in the same tute group as her. I worked hard at trying to figure out her timetable so I could accidentally bump into her. And when I found out that she was finding uni pretty difficult, I'm pretty sure I offered to help tutor her. I don't know how helpful that would have been. But my point is, like, we can go to incredible lengths to try and meet people and bump into people. You ask Jared, right? What efforts would you go to meet Taylor? There'd be a lot. Like, it'd be massive. If we had the opportunity to meet Taylor Swift, we would work really hard to do that. And yet we don't do the same kind of effort and discipline. We don't throw that same kind of thing into meeting God. We're not like the blind man and Zacchaeus who thought it was worth going to great lengths to chase after meeting Jesus. The spiritual disciplines put us in God's path, and we get to meet him there. He is gracious, and like with the blind man and Zacchaeus, we can get to know him more. We will be changed and become like him because of his grace. And I think that is key. The spiritual disciplines do not remove grace and relationship, two of our probably bigger concerns from earlier. In fact, it's the complete opposite. You see, the spiritual disciplines are God being gracious and relational. In his book, Knowing God, J.I. Packer wisely reminds us that we can only know someone if they let us get to know them. It's an act of grace on their behalf. And that's what the spiritual disciplines are, an act of grace, through which God graciously lets us get to know him, the one true God. And he's the God, right, who created the earth, who decided on its size and its blueprints, who poured its foundation and set its cornerstone. He's the God who orders the morning to get up, who has the clouds' attention and tells them when to rain, who took charge of the ocean and has explored its depths. He is the God who knows when the mountain goat is going to give birth. He knows who set the wild donkeys free. And he's the one who commands the hawks to fly and teaches the eagle to build her nest. He's an incredible God. This is the God who invites us to get to know him now, here, today. If we've caught a glimpse of this God, how can we not manage to discipline ourselves to chase hard after him, to meet him? But that's been our history, hasn't it? Think about Romans 3, verses 9 and 10. All are under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. None of us chased after God like we should have. We did not keep the mandates to be disciplined and to be godly. We did not want to meet God and get to know him. We're not really interested in becoming like him. But I say this is our history because it's not our present or our future. If you're a Christian here this morning, we know that Jesus kept God's mandates. He was perfectly disciplined, perfectly godly. He knew God and he was God. And yet he went to the cross instead of us. His death meant it was possible for us to meet God. That's why Matthew says that the temple curtain was torn in two. We can now meet God. There's nothing between us and him. You see, the spiritual disciplines are grace and the opportunity for relationship that flow out of the grace that we have seen in Jesus. So I think we need to be praying that we will be a people who make spiritual disciplines fashionable. Let's be known as disciplined, godly people. Let's be people who get rid of anything that stops us meeting God, anything that gets in the way of us knowing him and becoming like him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you are a gracious God and a relational God. And we thank you that in Jesus we have seen your grace and your desire for relationship so clearly. Lord, we thank you too for the disciplines and the way that you just continue to be gracious and relational towards us. Lord, I pray that we can be people who are disciplined, that we can chase hard after meeting you. Lord, may you shape us into godly people. May we know you and become more like you. Lord, help us in these things. Amen.